flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
I'm a winner. I know how to win.
You're dead gum right. We do.
Woo!
The Rob Brown Show on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate Hour numero dos. Starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and the great one, Lonzo. Sorry. The national champion, Lonzo.
Lonzo is a superstar.
And Rob Brown with you this morning. You can be a part of the show, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you want to give us a buzz, you're certainly welcome to do it. Text line, exact same number, 844-326-3663 is the number. If you want to text the show.
Can't wait to get the championship gear.
Is it you go t-shirt hat combo? Everything you can get your hands on?
I don't know what she ordered.
Oh, Miss Lisa already on top of the game.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
She was already talking about what she's going to order. So whatever she orders, you know, I'm good with it.
Hell yeah. I love that.
But she was talking about that before the game. So, I mean, you know, chances are she already had things ready to go as soon as the and ordered it.
That Fanatics basket was full with about 5 minutes left in the fourth.
Get a lot of Fanatics stuff.
In a weird way, great one. I kind of hope the Buckeyes are in a spot to repeat next year so that we can invite Miss Lisa to the Rob Brown Show halftime show extravaganza.
She's just going to decline, dude.
That's okay. I'm still going to invite. All right. And if she doesn't show up, you have to. I'm going to need one of you.
And I told her yesterday, Rob said, good luck on the game. She's like, what's that supposed to mean?
For the record,
I was like, hey, I think he genuinely meant good luck.
Serious.
Good luck. It's just like, I just was.
I texted Lonzo like an hour and a half before kickoff.
It was a rare Rob Brown text.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I did as requested and told her. And yeah, it was, she clapped back real quick. And I'm like, oh, wait. It's okay. I think he was being good about it. I don't, you know.
I texted Lonzo like an hour and a half before kickoff. I'm like, here we go. Good luck, Miss Lisa, .. And also you. And I love that. I love that. All right. 844-326-3663 is the number. What's your thoughts, your opinions on last night's national championship
game? Like a fax line. Do people still fax? Or maybe it was like a dial-up modem. That was wild.
Do people still dial-up modem?
It was a bunch of beeps.
We're going to talk more about the Natty coming up because there were some there were some coaching decisions on both sides of the football that I genuinely question. And obviously, it's easy to, I guess, Tuesday morning quarterback some of those coaching decisions. I don't understand the fake punt. I didn't understand. Honestly, I don't understand why they kicked a field goal or attempted to. They ended up doinking and not getting points out of that drive. And it, for the record, even if they made that field goal, I still ask why they kicked that field goal. You're effectively keeping it a two-score game. Like, it's a two-score game either way. You might as well create a world in which, if it's going to be a two-score game, it's a two-score game where you can take the lead with a couple of tutties. You need defensive stops anyway. I didn't understand the field goal attempt for Marcus Freeman that Mitch Jeter, the former Gamecock, ended up doinking. There were a couple of Ohio State decisions around the really start of the fourth quarter, specifically on the defensive side of the ball.
How the referees in the fourth quarter decided to suddenly start calling stuff they hadn't been calling the entire game.
I did say that.
It was a little obvious. I did say that
in the halftime extravaganza, and I did go live, and I'm going to try to start going live a little bit more regularly, like outside of show hours. You know, I'll probably do some work this weekend for the AFC and NFC championship games, etc. But I did point out that in the first half, there were, I believe, a combined three penalties for 25 yards, I think, or 20 yards, something like that.
There wasn't a whole lot, for sure.
There was not. It was like three penalties for like 20 or 25 yards. At the end of the game, there were nine penalties for 88 yards. So I'll say this. It wasn't like a... It wasn't a tick up that was like so dramatic that you go, okay, they are trying to have an influence. But also, I do think it is important to point out that, like, as teams play and as attrition kicks in and as stamina decreases, things inevitably are going to get a little bit sloppier. I don't think it was dramatic to the point that I feel like it changed the game. However, you did end up with double the penalties and nearly double the yardage on the Buckeyes by the end of the game.
Here's the thing. Be consistent. I mean, that's what, when you come out in the first, I know, first quarter, you figure out how the refs are going to call the game. And however it is, be that the entire game. If you change it and suddenly go against what you've been calling or not calling the entire game, it's very influential.
We'll come back to this because we do have to get the cheat sheet in here. But I don't disagree, but I also do think, again, nuance is to me the most important thing that we can do in these discussions. The nuance is also that, yeah, when guys get tired, and this was a physical game, right? Do we agree with that? Like, this was a relatively physical game.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's a physical game, as guys start to get tired and beaten and bruised, they're going to get sloppier. Like, that's an inevitability. So we'll come back to that because I do think that is absolutely a variable in the discussion. We're going to continue talking about the national championship game. We will flip it over to the NFL divisional round of the playoffs as well. But it is 7:06 in the morning. Why does my computer say it's 5:13 a.m.? That's not right. It is 7:06 in the morning, which means it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for us to get you set up for a big day of work. Avoidance as you talk sports. And if you're going to do that, you need this.
These are going to hurt you, sir.
It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, these are some of the top-notch issues you're going to be talking about. Let's dive right in, great one, with item number one. The Ohio State Buckeyes are your 2024-25 college football national champions. Put up the ones and acknowledge them. 34-23 is your final. They did it on the legs and arm of Will Howard. 17 of 21, 231 and a pair of tutties. He also ran 16 times for 57 yards. Quinshon Judkins also had himself a day. 11 totes, 100 yards, including a 70-yard scamper that all but put this game to bed. He had two touchdowns on the ground as well. Jeremiah Smith, 5 snags, 88 yards, 64 on 6 catches for Amika Egbuka. And that was the Buckeyes offense in a nutshell. Because they're nuts. Get it? Riley Leonard, 22 of 31, 255 and a pair of tutties in this one. He also ran it for 17 times for 40 yards and a touchdown. The problem was no other Irish player had more than 13 yards rushing. Jadarian Price had 3 carries for 13 yards. Jeremiah Love, who a lot of folks thought was going to be the linchpin for this Buckeye for this Irish offense in the face of a Buckeye defense that we knew was going to bring pressure, 4 carries, 3 yards. Did not have a carry longer than 2 yards in this game. Jordan Faison had 1 carry for 1 yard. The Irish just 53 rushing yards compared to 214 for the Buckeyes. There's a lot of stats we're going to talk about today. There's a lot of numbers we're going to talk about today. But Zoe, I'm going to go ahead and say with some level of clarity that if one team outrushes the other team to the tune of 152 more rushing yards, that team's going to win like 4 out of 5 times, if not more.
That's probably a good call on your part.
Yeah. That team's going to win like 4.787329 times out of 5. It's that just is what it is. And it obviously, why a team gets outrushed by 150 some odd yards, that has to do with more than just they stink. It has to do with what the other defense is doing, how the other defense is attacking the run, if the quarterback is throwing the ball well enough to open up the run as opposed to using the run to open up the pass. Yeah, like there's a lot of variables in the equation. But at the end of the day, if a team outrushes the other team by over 150 more yards, they're going to win that game more often than they do not. The Irish and the Buckeyes both finish at 14 of 2. Ohio State, of course, had the loss to consensus number 1 Oregon by a single point. They also dropped that loss to Michigan rivalry day weekend. But it turned out that game didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Just didn't. The Buckeyes were already in, said that at the time. They're already going to the dance. There's no way they don't. So the game did not matter. Did that have an impact on that game? I don't know. It's gonna be a discussion we can go back and have in retrospect. Good off-season conversation.
Yeah, it had a major impact on the team overall, for sure.
I think that's fair. Because whether or not the fans that were calling for Ryan Day's job were correct or not,
they weren't.
Then, whether they're correct or not, it's going to have an impact. Like, the boys, I think, were lining up for Ryan Day at that point, right? Like, they put on the armor ready to go to battle for Ryan Day, and I think that showed in the playoffs. We will talk more about that later on in the show. Let's get to item number 2. Water cooler cheat sheet, all college football today, by the way, because I do think this is a big discussion day for college football. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips said yesterday that the ACC will have conversations amongst coaches and ADs about whether to make changes to its conference championship game format. The conversations are a result of the expanded 12-team college football playoff, according to ESPN, and ensuring conference champions and the teams that play in conference championship games remain important. Obviously, this past season, SMU entered the ACC title game as the regular season champ, but lost to Clemson in the ACC title game. They had to sweat it out on selection day before ensuring a spot in the 12-team playoff. Phillips said that the ACC may, in the future, consider giving their regular season champion a bye and have the teams that finish second or third in the league standings play in the ACC championship game. So the regular season champ would not have to play in the title game. And listen, this is something that on its surface, let's be honest with each other, because I did, and I'm willing to admit it, you all had a knee-jerk reaction of, well, that's dumb as hell.
No,
right? Knee-jerk reaction?
My reaction was just to eliminate the game altogether and just to declare a champion of your conference. Do not have a game that adds an extra game played for a team who might be in the or probably will be in the
playoffs. That is the simplest solution. Without a doubt. 100% agree that's the simplest solution, but that's never going to happen. Why won't it ever happen? Very simply. Because the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, all of these conferences, conference championship games are a huge moneymaker for them. They get all the revenue from that. They get the TV revenue. They get the gate. They get the merch. They get all that revenue. That is one of the very few games that exclusively goes to conference coffers. So the conferences, even though we all agree, getting rid of the conference championship games, just declaring a regular season champion of your conference is the right way to handle it. Come up with 50 tiebreakers and do it that way. Even though that's the right way to do it. At the end of the day, even if there were only 30,000 fans in Charlotte, the TV contract of that game being played on ESPN or whatever channel it was on, and all the gate and all the merch and everything that was sold that weekend in Charlotte, that all goes to the ACC. Much, they are not going to take that much money off the table.
How much power do the TV people actually have? Because if they do have the kind of power that I believe we both believe they have, they would never go for this. Because it's you're crowning a second place. That's no guarantee you're making it in the playoff either.
So
just because you're crowning a second place team.
The thing is, the answer is a lot. Because they could say, well, here's the deal. Next time the TV bargaining comes up, if you're not going to give us the best ACC title game, we're going to give you this much less money. But at the end of the day, it's irrelevant how much power the TV guys have because the conference will never make this change. No conference is going to say, we're doing away with putting our top two teams in. We're going to put teams 2 and 3 in and have them play. And here's the reason why. Even though it's a knee-jerk reaction of this is dumb, which it is, I agree. The knee-jerk reaction is it's dumb, but from a face value, it actually makes perfect sense. Because the commission, the committee, pardon me, has already said what? The committee has already said that if you don't play in a conference championship game, whether you're in there or not, you can't, if you don't play in it, you can't change your positioning. So if you are an ACC title game contender, theoretically, not guaranteed, but it was true about SMU this year, theoretically, you're way inside the top 12. Theoretically. Won't be that way every year. But theoretically, you're way inside the top 12. So why would you play a comp? We talked about this, right? Like Oregon. Oregon could have laid down to Penn State in the Big Ten title game, gotten the extra day off, gotten the bye, whatever. Now, ultimately, it didn't matter. But they could have done that and still been in the playoffs and still had an equal chance to win a natty. Maybe not get the first round bye, but they would have got the bye by not going full tilt in the conference championship game. So by doing it this year, even though the ACC did get SMU in, it was by the proverbial hair of their metaphorical chinny chin chin. We were sweating. Well, I wasn't. SMU was sweating whether they were getting in or not. So Jim Phillips is saying, we're going to send 2 and 3. That way we know our regular season conference champ, who will get their own crown, is likely going to go like 90% of the time. And we can elevate the second and third place teams because, hey, second place team, maybe they got a chance. Third place team, like it opens up the door. This is it's a dumb thing that makes perfect sense based on what the committee has said and done so far. Now, the reason that I'm not freaking out about that yet is this. Heather Denich reported over the weekend that Rich Clark and the CFP did meet over the weekend. And over the weekend in their meetings, they have discussed what Clark said were a, quote, lot of really important issues, end quote, and that the meeting could lead to changes being made, quote, very soon. Here's what Clark said, quote, I would say it's possible, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. There's probably some things that could happen in short order that might be tweaks to the 2025 season, but we haven't determined that yet. According to ESPN, a source with knowledge of the conversation said nobody at this time was pushing hard for a 14 or 16 team bracket, and there was not an in-depth discussion of a change to the seeding process, but talks were held about the value of having the four highest ranked conference champions earn first round byes as opposed to the top four teams. Ultimately, the 11 people on that committee, comprised of presidents and chancellors from around the country, will vote on any changes, and some university leaders have already said they liked rewarding conference champions with byes because of the emphasis that it added to conference title games, but that motivation is, as we just talked about a second ago, very selfish. Conference championship games are moneymakers for the conferences, so they want conference champs to get byes so that teams like SNU and Clemson, Oregon and Penn State will still want to play in and win them, especially if there is, like we had in the Big Ten, not a that team's guaranteed to be in type of team, right? So this is going to be interesting and we'll see what changes are made. Here's the caveat to that discussion. Starting in 2026, any changes will no longer require unanimous approval. So right now, they don't. Right now, it can be a majority vote. I don't know if it needs to be majority, supermajority. I'm going to do the research on that. In 2026, those changes will require unanimous approval moving forward. Will they make those changes? We'll find out. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about item number three in the next segment, because there is a battle brewing between Wisconsin and the Big Ten and the University of Miami about a transfer player who may not be a transfer player, who is transferring probably because of NIL, but we don't really know how much they can enforce the NIL contracts that were signed at Wisconsin. Oh, it's a nasty, nasty situation, and I'm going to tell you about it when we come back. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That just feels unnecessary. This story's super duper fun. Let's get to this, because this is going, I suppose, to have at least some of you up in arms, metaphorically speaking. Let's keep it metaphorically. Wisconsin in the Big Ten issued statements this weekend, expressing disagreement with how the University of Miami has handled defensive back Xavier Lucas's expected transfer. And according to ESPN, it may turn out to be a test case for the enforceability of NIL contracts. Lucas transferred from Wisconsin to DU, except for a great one. His name was never in the transfer portal. So, Wisconsin said in their statement that Lucas entered into a, quote, binding two-year NIL agreement, end quote, and a separate agreement with the school's collective. Wisconsin wants that agreement upheld and said the school will, quote, evaluate all options going forward to determine the appropriate course of action, end quote. The school called the case a, quote, significant moment in the evolution of college athletics, end quote. Wisconsin's statement, however, went even further than that. Wisconsin's statement said that the school, quote, has credible information indicating impermissible contact between Xavier and the University of Miami, end quote, and goes on to call Lucas's situation an indictment of how college athletics currently operates. The Big Ten called the information suggested, quote, tampering and contract interference, end quote, and said that the behavior is, quote, very troubling. In Wisconsin's statement, they wrote, quote, the system cannot work without an operational model that both establishes and enforces agreed upon rules and regulations and contractual terms that are binding on both institutions and student athletes. Now, Lucas, shockingly, has an attorney by the name of Darren Heitner, who called the agreement, quote, conditioned on approval of the House settlement, end quote. He said that on social media. He accused Wisconsin of denying Lucas's right to enter his name in the NCAA transfer portal. The story going around right now, from the standpoint of Xavier Lucas, is that he requested that Wisconsin put his name into the transfer portal. And so that it is clear, that is how the system is designated to operate. If a player intends to transfer, he notifies the school, and the school is to enter that player's name into the transfer portal. Xavier Lucas's camp is effectively saying that they made the request for Wisconsin to enter his name into the portal, and Wisconsin failed to do so. Xavier Lucas then acted as if his name was in the portal anyway. Wisconsin said in their statement, quote, Badger student athletes who have signed these agreements expect Wisconsin athletics to honor the terms. In turn, Wisconsin athletics relies on the student athlete representations in signing these agreements that they will do the same. A request to enter the transfer portal after entering into such an agreement is inconsistent with the representations and mutual understanding of the agreement and explains the reason for not processing a transfer portal request under these circumstances. So, Xavier Lucas said, I told them I wanted to transfer. They did not put my name into the transfer portal. I transferred anyway. And the argument that the attorney is going to make, and this is something I read from a couple of different sports lawyers yesterday, and again, on social media, so take it with the whole shaker of salt. The agreement or the argument that I've heard so far is that Xavier Lucas did what many other athletes, nope, scratch that. Xavier Lucas did what many other students are allowed to do. That is to simply switch schools, to de-enroll from one school and to re-enroll in another. For the record, I did that when I was a student. I attended one school for a couple of years. And then due to some life circumstances, I was not required to, but it was just the right thing to do for me. I de-enrolled from the school that I had attended for 2 years. I took the credits that could transfer to the University of West Florida. Go Argos! To the University of West Florida. I re-enrolled at UWF, and that's where I finished my degree in broadcast communications. And here we are. Go Argos. The argument Xavier Lucas is going to make is, look, at the end of the day, there's a couple of things. I asked to go into the portal. Wisconsin did not put my name into the portal. So I de-enrolled at Wisconsin and I enrolled at the University of Miami, just like any other college student has the opportunity to do. Wisconsin is saying, hey, this dude agreed to a 2-year name, image, and likeness deal. And if he signed a 2-year name, image, and likeness deal, we expect him to honor that 2-year name, image, and likeness deal. Effectively signing a non-compete, even though it is not officially a non-compete. That is technically what Wisconsin's arguing that it is.
But isn't it a breach of contract for if you sign for NIL money, if you sign to Bob's Used Cars, if you sign a thing.
Our favorite NIL producer.
If you sign to Bob's, Bob's got your signature. So isn't that a breach of contract if you go somewhere else? Couldn't there be like a civil suit?
That's why it's going to be very interesting, because this hasn't happened yet.
Bob plays dirty. You don't want to mess with Bob.
Look, if you're Bob and you sign the NIL deal, you are heated this morning, right? Like, here's this dude that I just put. Now, it's going to be interesting. And for the record, these types of contracts are not uncommon. I literally have one. When I sign a contract with this radio station, it is for X period of time. And if I am within that contract of X period of time, if I decide that I wish to no longer work here, I have the right to terminate the contract from my side. However, I signed a document that says, and I will not broadcast anywhere else during this period of time, or the station, the company, can come after me legally. So I can't just go, eh, I'm done here. I'm going to go over the street to the propaganda station and go work for them. I can't do that under the contract I'm in. And I agreed to those terms. So this is where this is going to be very interesting, because this is going to turn into the first time that an NIL contract, I think this is going to be the first time that an NIL contract is going to go in front of a labor court, basically. I think this is going to be a case, maybe, if it gets that far. I think this could be a case where, for the first time that I am aware of, an NIL contract is going to be argued by attorneys, probably in front of a judge, to determine what these contracts are. If a player shows up on campus and signs a 2-year deal with the collective, is that deal able to lock them into that school and only school, that school and only that school, for the lifetime of that contract? If they sign that deal, are they allowed to say, and you can't transfer out? If you sign this NIL deal with us for 1 year, 2 years, whatever, you can't transfer out. Is that legally binding? Would Xavier Lucas have to stay at Wisconsin or play nowhere if he signed an NIL deal? On the other hand, is it possible that a labor judge, labor attorneys, could successfully make the argument that as these players are not, get ready for the eye roll, are not employees, that these contracts are not binding the way that labor contracts ordinarily are? These are name, image, and likeness contracts. That would make that those aren't covered under labor agreement laws. Here's the thing. None of us know. You're going to have a bunch of people who are going to grab mics and break this story down today, and they're going to say, well, this is how it should be. And that's fine. Everybody gets their subjective opinion. I will tell you right now, as I've said the whole time, what is the one phrase I have used about NIL this entire time? Adult opportunity comes with adult consequences, right? Transfer portal. If you enter the transfer portal, your adult opportunity, there may not be a landing spot for you and you're done playing football. Adult consequence. With name, image, and likeness, the ability to take the brand that you build by being a football player, sell that brand to other people, companies, to utilize your brand to platform themselves. You have the right to go, yep, I went out there and I did all this on the football field. And because I did this on the football field, people know who I am. And because people know who I am, they will listen to me when I endorse your product. And because they'll listen to me when I endorse your product, I will sell you the rights to utilize that brand to sell your product. Here's the thing. Adult opportunity to sell your brand in the NIL window to make that money. Adult consequences, and this is the subjective opinion of yours truly. Subjective opinion is, just like everybody out here in the real world, if you sign a contract, you are expected to honor that contract. And if you fail to uphold that contract, there could be consequences. Civil consequences, legal consequences, social consequences. So my way too in advance, without really hearing even the depths of the argument of the people who are going to be making them, Xavier Lucas, his attorney, Wisconsin, the Big Ten. The Big Ten, by the way, has arm in arm with Wisconsin. They are utilizing the assets of the Big Ten to help Wisconsin go after this. Without even really hearing the full argument, just on the baseline standards, my expectation, though I am not saying this is what will happen, because frankly, I don't freaking know, and neither does anybody else. My expectation would be Wisconsin walks in and they hold up a contract and they say, here's the contract, 2 years, won't play anywhere else, there's his signature. It's not that complicated. And They'll probably have to lawyer up the collective because that's who would have signed that contract and not Wisconsin, which is probably what Xavier Lucas's attorney is going to argue. Whoa. What's Wisconsin doing in the courtroom? We never signed a contract to play for Wisconsin. We signed a two-year deal with the collective. Wisconsin can't not put his name in the portal because he has a deal with the collective. They're two separate entities. Remember? Isn't that your guideline? Isn't that your rule? That is what I suspect is going to be the case. But we'll see. This is going to be, I think, this case could end up being almost as impactful as the House settlement antitrust case. We'll talk more about this later in the show. We'll get to our NFL division round. Raj Carruth will be joining us, NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series driver at 8 straight up. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It is the Rod Brown Show. Right here on the Fan Upstate, wrapping up hour number one on the radio broadcast. 844-326-3663. Next hour, got a couple of things coming up for you. First segment of the show, we are going to be joined by Raja Carruth. He is the driver of the number 71 Spire Motorsports Hendrick Cars Chevrolet in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. We'll talk to Raj about his career, the upcoming season, driving for Spire and the Greenville Swamp Rabbits NASCAR night, biggest night of the year for them, coming up this Saturday at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. Raj will be in the next segment. We'll talk to him. And then the back two segments of this hour, we'll talk National Football League divisional round because we got a lot of storylines working. One of them is our text question of the day. And that text question is very simple, yes or no question. Now, you can send us a text and elaborate on it, but the question is yes or no. 844-326-3663 is the number to text your answer. The question is, did the Chiefs get help? Very simple question. Did the Chiefs get help? Yes or no? Now, you can text yes and then an answer. You can text no and then an answer. But you start your text to 844-326-3663 with the word yes or with the word no. Here are the last few votes that we have gotten in so far. I'm not going to read all of them to you, but here are the last few votes. No, no, all caps. Yes, Mahomes is the most protected player in the NFL. Gets any and every little call they need to just put a flag football belt on him at this point. Yes. Yes, absolutely same as every week. Yes, but the Texans offense wasn't ready. No. Yes. Yes, absolutely 100%. No doubt you already know the answer. And then a bunch of yeses and nos leading up to that. We will tally those votes at the end of the show, but the question is simple. Did the Chiefs get help this weekend? Text yes or text no to 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. Did the Chiefs get help this weekend? Yes or no? And we will talk division around, including that story, because there's a lot of big time voices out there, including Troy Aikman, including Ryan Clark, including Scott Van Pelt, who were all saying there's a problem. Even if it is only on the level of optics, there is a problem. So we're going to come back to that in the next hour of the show.
Nope.
We're going to come back to that in the next hour of the show.
Burn it down! Burn it down!
The whole show or just that segment?
I'm still contemplating.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Me too, most of the time, to keep it a buck with you.
America.
We are talking about the college football national championship game from last night. The Ohio State Buckeyes finished their season at 14-2. They win the Natty with a 34-23 win over Notre Dame. Here's what I said back in the first hour of the show. I'm going to bring it back up here because I didn't really elaborate. I am giving Marcus Freeman a pass for a game that I feel Marcus Freeman screwed Marcus Freeman. I think Marcus Freeman did himself in this game for a couple of reasons. The opening drive from Notre Dame, we talked about it quite a bit back in the first hour of the show. The opening drive, and I mean this sincerely, the 18-play, 75-yard, 9-minute and 45-second drive from Notre Dame to open this game was one of the most impressive, surgically precise drives that I have ever seen a football team run. Now, again, there's two teams out there. The opening drive defensively for Ohio State, I actively said, uh-oh, because Ohio State did not look like they were playing the defense that they played against Oregon. It did not look like the defense that they played against Texas. I said, if I'm Ohio State, I'm treating Riley Leonard the exact same way that I treated Quinn Ewers. I'm bringing pressure, I'm setting the edge, and I'm saying, if you beat me, it is because you are going to be absolutely world-class with the legs, but you're going to have to beat me with your arm. You're going to have to be a top-flight QB1 if you're going to beat me, because you're not running on me, right? The Ohio State defense on the opening drive, no pressure. I think they blitzed on like 2 out of the 18 plays on the opening drive. I don't know the exact number, but it's not more than 3 or 4. They just weren't blitzing. They were playing a base defense. They were bringing 4. Sometimes they'd bring a guy up on the edge. Sometimes they'd just have 4 down linemen, but they were bringing 4 most of the time. And Notre Dame was precision. Riley Leonard was seeing the field well. He was seeing where blitzes were coming from and where spots on the field were being vacated, and he was getting the ball to that spot. They were surgical with that drive to the point that I said, it may be a long night, dot, 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 for the Buckeyes, based on what I'm seeing right here. And instead, what ended up happening was in the second drive, Ohio State started bringing the blitz. They rushed 5. On the opening play of drive number 2, that created a situation in which Notre Dame was playing not behind the sticks, but they had a false start in the face of the blitz to open up that drive. On the second play, linebacker blitz, Ohio State did miss 2 tackles, so Riley Leonard was able to throw a pass out to the left for a short gain. But what happened? Holding on the Irish. Why? Because they brought extra pressure, did the Buckeyes. And when they brought the extra pressure, the offensive line reacted, and not well. Then on the 3rd play from scrimmage, Notre Dame feigned the blitz, but in feigning the blitz, they ended up bringing just the 4. They brought the 4 that were down. However, Riley Leonard locked in on the back, on the linebacker, on the blitzer. And when he did, it created a situation where Notre Dame's offense looked panicky. Big sack drops him all the way back. It's now 3rd and 23. What does Ohio State do in that spot? They drop everybody. They bring 3. Leonard gets hurried even under 3. And this is one of the plays I was talking about. They need on 3rd and 23. Now, game's not over. You're down. It's tied. It's 7-7 at this point. There is no reason in this spot to panic. And Riley Leonard panicked. So needing a bunch of yards, Riley Leonard just hits. And again, not a lot of options because the Buckeyes did drop. They were playing deep quarters at the line to gain. They drop 4 to the line to gain. Riley Leonard has no option there and doesn't see the secondary routes, right? I talk about routes in 3 levels. You got the level 1 routes. That's your wheel route to the running back. That's your tight end sit. That's your comeback route, your 5-yard comeback, your 5 in, your 5 out, whatever. Then there's the second level. Those are the ones that are more towards the 7 to 10 yards, right? Those are your inside slant, your outside slant, your whatever. Your sit bay, your comebacks at the 10-yard. And then you got your 3rd level routes to me. That's your deep routes. That's your 9. That's your 7. That's your slant, your post, your flag, your go route. He never saw the 3s. Never saw the level 3 routes. I don't know if he saw the level 2 routes. He ended up hitting, I think, face on, coming across the middle for 8 yards. And oh, by the way, when he gets 8 yards and turns up, what's the guy? He's got 5 Buckeyes between him and the line to gain and no blockers. He's not picking that up. Everything changed when Ohio State started to bring pressure on Riley Leonard. And Marcus Freeman did not make it easy on Riley Leonard after that. He was calling designed rushes into the teeth of the Buckeye blitz. Jeremiah Love was getting nothing going because I do think, and I did notice this around the middle of the third quarter. Great, when I sat here saying all week, like, I think the Buckeyes are keyed in on Riley Leonard. I don't think that's what they were keyed in, and I think they were keyed in on Jeremiah Love. I think they were keyed, because Jeremiah Love was what killed Penn State in the second half when the Irish ran up 261 yards in the second half. It was Jeremiah Love opening it up for Riley Leonard. So the Buckeyes, I think, in this game looked, and they said, hey, we're going to take Love away, but much like with Derrick Henry, because the Bills were keyed in on Derrick Henry. He ended up with 16 carries. His over-under carry number, I think, was 19.5. I said, the over carries is the line of the week, man. Like, that's a no-brainer. The Ravens ran Derrick Henry 16 times. That's not enough. He had a couple of slow runs, so they pulled away from that. Jeremiah Love had 4 carries in this game. The dude that toted Notre Dame against Penn State had 4 carries. Granted, he was ineffective, less than a yard a carry on his 4 carries. But he had 4 carries in this game. They had Riley Leonard run the ball 17. Riley Leonard carried the ball more than anybody in this game, great one. And the Buckeyes had 214 rushing yards. And Riley Leonard had more carries than every other player in this contest. And then I add on a fake punt. Now, in a lot of situations, no issue with the fake punt. You're down 3 scores. You're well on your side of the ball. If you need 2 yards, and we know, more than likely, pending catastrophe, if you go for it on 4th and 2 at your own, 35-yard line, if you go for it and you don't get it, and the Buckeyes offense not only has all the momentum already, but now has the momentum, and that crowd is now, which I was told by a buddy with boots on the ground at the game last night, was about 65% scarlet and gray. All right? Buckeyes dominated the attendance last night. If you go for it on 4th and 2, and you do not get that first down conversion, that ball game is over. At least pending a disaster, which the Buckeyes flirted with for a minute there. But pending a disaster, pending a meltdown, if we don't get this first down, this game is over. They go line up. If you need 2 yards, and you know, I know it. Marcus Freeman had to know it. Everybody on social media knew it. If you go for this, and you do not get 2 yards in a first down, this game is effectively over. Then put your offense out there. Don't fake punt that. It would be different if it wasn't the most obvious fake punt opportunity in the world, but it was. I'm looking at Twitter before they even line up, right? It's 4th and 2. Punt team comes on, and my Twitter literally is just people going, they're going to fake it. They're going to fake it. They're going to fake it. They're going to fake it.
Admittedly,
it was obvious.
I'm sitting there going, okay, you went for it a bunch on 4th down. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the most obvious fake punt situation in the world. And if it's the most obvious fake punt situation in the world, just put your offense out there. Just put Riley Leonard, Jeremiah Love out there. Run something out of the backfield that makes the defenders pick one of those guys. Run a read option out of that spot, right? Read the end. Let Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard can run the read option. We've seen it. Run another quarterback dive. Run a halfback dive out of the pistol. Run it out of under. Do something with the offense. If your offense with the game on the line can't get 2 yards, you're not winning that ball game anyway. So Marcus Freeman goes for the fake punt in the most obvious fake punt situation of all time and doesn't get it. Now, coulda, shoulda, woulda. It was a drop pass. Should have been a first down. But even if that's the case, if I gave you one play, 4th and 2, one play to get 2 yards for a natty, are you running out your punter and a backup tight end on a fake? Or are you running out Riley Leonard, Jeremiah Love, Jaden Greathouse, and Mitch Evans and going, if we need 2 yards, I'm going to trust the guys whose job is to go get 4 at a time. Like, then you have the field goal. Notre Dame kicks that field goal, which even at that point, like, I'm looking at it and going, okay. They ended up doinking the field goal, so it didn't go through. But if that field goal connects, it's still a 2-score game. It's lesser of 2 scores. If it goes through, it's still a 2-score game. Why are we kicking a field goal here? Why are we kicking a field goal with a cold kicker who hasn't tried one yet? Why are we sending on a cold kicker in a high-pressure situation to kick a field goal to turn a 2-score game into a 2-score game still? Go get the touchdown. If you don't get it, it's the exact same situation as if you missed the field goal. Hell, it's the exact same situation as if you make the field goal. I am going to give Marcus Freeman credit. Marcus Freeman took over, I think, I'm not going to say it was a disaster post Brian Kelly.
Family!
But I am going to say it was a disaster. Took over disaster in 2 years, brought them to a natty. Marcus Freeman's getting some time because even coaches have their first national championship game. For all the talk, I listened to 100 sports shows on Saturday go, who do you trust more, Riley Leonard or Will Howard in their first championship game? Why did we not ask that question about Marcus Freeman? Do you trust him in championship game number one? And the answer is, I think he made some mistakes. I think the pressure got to him a little bit. Do I think he's James Franklin? No. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that Marcus Freeman needs to go under the scope. What I am saying is, if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I'm disappointed about last night. I'm really excited about the future. I'm really excited about the next segment because coming up, joining us live on the stream, by the way, Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFansUpstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, Raj Karuth. Raja Karuth drives the number 71 Spire Motorsports Hendrix Cars truck in the Craftsman Truck Series. We'll talk to him about his on-track career and the Greenville Swamp Rabbits NASCAR night this Saturday at the Well. That's after Lonzo, who, if there was a Daytona 500 of sports flashes, would win that SOB every single year. Read you the sports flash.
So if you've been under a rock, out of country, from outer space, you probably didn't know this, so I'll tell you. The Ohio State Buckeyes are your 2024 national champions. After a 34-23 win over Notre Dame last night, Will Howard finished up an incredible postseason with 231 yards and two touchdown passes, while the Buckeyes ran for 214 total yards, including 102 touchdowns from Quinshon Judkins. The Buckeyes defense held Notre Dame to just 53 rushing yards. Both teams finished the season 14-2. Hottest name in the NFL's coaching circle is reportedly off the board as Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson is reportedly close to signing a contract with the Chicago Bears. Johnson's Lions were the one seed in the NFC bracket, but were upset by the Commanders this weekend. Tune in tomorrow night at 5:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the VMI Keydets. It's Furman versus VMI right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan Upstate.